welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a fantastic Friday down here in sunny Florida. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Definitely have some more interesting articles, as always, for you guys. And how are you doing today, Dan?
You know, I'm blessed. I'm absolutely blessed. But I want to read you something real quick out of the book of Daniel. This is really important. This show's going to be playing all weekend. I wanted to do this. This is the image of gold in the fiery furnace out of Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And for those of you guys who aren't Christians or you become Christians here recently, you may not know this story. But this is basically with Nebuchadnezzar. And what happened is they wanted everybody to bow down to him, but three of the Jewish folks that were there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said they weren't going to do it. And suddenly, so furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of the gold I've set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn or the flute or the lyre, harp, pipes, any kind of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing fire. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" And now this is, I love this. This is my favorite part of this verse. This next couple of verses. He goes, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Regardless of what God did, as far as whether he saved them or not, they didn't care. It was going to be what they said that God wanted them to do." That's Yahweh. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and his attitude changed towards them. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of his strongest soldiers in his army to tie them up and to throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the men who took them up to the fire. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Wasn't it 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the Son of God." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here." So they came out of the fire. And all the governors and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed, nor their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to God, to your God, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way." Now, the reason I read that is this. I just read an article that happened out of Oregon. Now, you guys know that Oregon is one of the most liberal places on the planet. It's absolutely one of the most beautiful states we have, but it's incredibly liberal. And I pulled this article up and I wanted you guys to read this with me because this got me so angry today. I almost went on a tear in the doggone living room after I read it. Voters put down Oregon labor official who bullied Christian bakers. This is from Tim Brown. It says, you see this one the way I see it. The voice of the people in Oregon spoke and put down an Oregon bureaucrat who bullied owners of a Christian bakery on behalf of militant sodomites as he sought to be Secretary of State. In this election year, the people spoke at the local level in Oregon and chose Republican Dennis Richardson instead of Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian for the Secretary of State for Oregon. It's the first time a Republican has been elected to a statewide office in Oregon since 2002. So consider this. Abacan was too liberal for what is arguably one of the most liberal states in the country. Abacan, a passionate advocate for the lesbian crowd, was thrust into the national spotlight when he declared war on a Christian bakery in 2013. Aaron and Melissa Klein, the owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, declined to make a wedding cake for a lesbian couple ceremony. The Kleins, who were devout Christians, explained that participating in a same-sex wedding would violate their deeply held religious beliefs, kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's why I read that first. The Kleins faced Nazi-like tactics from Avakan and other representatives as they took a First Amendment stand against pretended legislation regarding discrimination. The couple were issued a gag order, fined $130,000, and still vowed to stand. However, their business was forced to close. The goal is never to shut down a business. Listen to this. You got to hear this, guys. This is Avakan's quote to the Oregonian magazine, the newspaper, in 2013. The goal is never to shut down the business. The goal is to rehabilitate. He wants to rehabilitate the Christian bakers to bake a cake to go against their beliefs. Unbelievable. This article goes on to say, rehabilitate for what? Standing on the rights that are recognized by our own Constitution, mainly the free exercise of religion, the Christian one, and assembly of freely and its freedom of assembly against discrimination. Following all of this, the couple decided to show love for their enemies and deliver cakes to pro-sodomite groups. Avakan also attacked the Twilight Room Annex, who turned away a transgender patron because he didn't want his establishment referred to as a gay bar. And who would blame him for this? The bar was forced to shut down as well as fined $400,000. His goal is never to shut down a business, quote, it is to rehabilitate. Guys, if this doesn't frost you as bad as it frosted me when I read this, let me explain something to you about the sodomites out there. Let's talk sodomite for just a second. I don't care what sodomites do. I don't care what gay and lesbian people do. I don't care. They got a bigger problem than caring about what Ted Brewer thinks about these guys. I don't care what they do. They have to answer to God Almighty. If they don't believe they have to answer to God Almighty, that's okay. Then the book of Isaiah will kick in chapter 15 where they're all sitting in hell in chains and saying, well, you're supposed to deliver us from this. Why are you down here with us? I mean, I don't care what these guys do as long as they don't involve me or my family. But guys, if a bakery chooses not to do this and not to service a particular clientele because they don't want to do it, and they have the state get involved to try to force them to rehabilitate, to change their Christian values and their views. Guys, that's nonsense. It's complete and total nonsense. Now, guys, I'm not saying that I agree with them not wanting to service these guys as far as baking a cake. It doesn't make any difference what I agree with. It's their choice. It's whatever they want to do. It's their business. I mean, if I choose to not have a person as one of my customers for whatever reason, it's because I've chosen to do that. That's my choice, and I shouldn't be put into a rehabilitation center or whatever they were thinking of to try to force me to feel differently. Guys, it's the First Amendment. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom of choice. No one can be forced, apparently, unless it's in Oregon by the state, to force a group of people to comply with the state's wishes as far as being in business. Maybe it goes back to what Obama said when he looked at everybody in his arrogance and he said, you didn't build that. When I started Health Masters back in 1981, I worked 70, 80, 90, 100-hour weeks. I drove 1,000 miles a week. I was all over the state of Florida doing what I needed to do, trying to make this business work. I busted my butt. I spent all of those years in college. I had to run P&Ls. I had to borrow money. I had to do all the things I did. But Obama says I didn't build that. Why? I guess I need to be rehabilitated now. Are you kidding me? Any business owner in the United States who didn't inherit their money and is not a trust fund baby or inherit their business, who started from scratch, knows exactly what I'm talking about. It takes a lot of work, a lot of energy, and a lot of lessons in the school of hard knocks to get started in business and learn how to earn a profit. Anybody can sell product at cost and try to make money. They can't do it that way. There's all kinds of things that you have to factor in that they don't teach you in the MBA program at Florida State University, which I quickly found out. Guys, We don't need to be rehabilitated. We need to have the freedom to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. We don't need to live under the arm of tyranny. Are you kidding me? This is what the Nazis did. They locked up the Jews and they hauled them off because they were Jews. Are they going to lock up the Christians now and haul them off because they're Christians, because they don't comply with what the state does? Is that where this was going with Hillary and Obama? That's my opening statement, Austin. What do you think of that article?
Well, no, you're absolutely right. And you see, the only thing, as I've said this many of times, and most people don't understand this concept, is the federal government doesn't produce anything. All it does is either borrow money or takes money from the taxpayer to fund its giant empire. This is an article that just came in today from Competitive Enterprise Institute. They said now Obama has just shattered the even large previous record for pages of regulation and rules published by the Federal Registrar last year. 2015 hit 81,640 total pages of regulations, surpassing the previous record set in 2010 by 235 pages. Obama is the only president to ever surpass the 80,000 page mark of regulatory pages produced in a year, achieving this feat 4 times now. They've even in the last week added 572 pages. At the rate they're going right now, 2016 is set to be the largest year to date. Roughly on average right now, they're expecting 92,830 pages of rules and regulations added to the registrar, where you put that down to basically Reagan, which was around 44,000 pages in his term, one of his years. This is what we see now, and it's what you just said, Dad. They can't build anything without taking it from somebody else or borrowing money from the Federal Reserve. The people of the United States are the ones that support, maintain, and build this entire country, whether it's from scratch, whether it's from support from previous generations. It doesn't matter. We can still continue to grow. But this out-of-hand nonsense that we're seeing now, adding 80,000 to 90,000 pages a year of regulations and laws and statutes, is completely out of control. It blew my mind when I read that article. This is why Trump already said on record he wants to propose a new law. For every one new regulation that gets pushed in the law, two of them have to come off the books. This is because he has dealt in the business world and That's worked right. in the business model his entire life, and he sees the asinine rules and regulations and hoops you have to jump through just to start a business, just to get permits to build something, just to get licenses to sell something. And I'm not saying it needs to be a free-for-all and everybody just needs to be able to do whatever they want, whenever they want. It's just anarchy. I don't believe in that. What I'm saying is the government intrusion and regulation and laws on every single aspect of our life has to start coming backwards. We cannot continue the route we've been going, because we truly are living in full-blown tyranny now. We all think we are free. We think we're allowed to do stuff. As I've told you guys numerous times, go drive your car without a driver's license. As Dad saw, that's next to impossible to even get a renewal. Go drive your car without registration, or just don't pay your income tax, or don't pay your state sales tax, or don't pay your property tax, and see how quick they come in and either throw you in jail and fine you, and or both. That's what's going on right now, and that's why people have to start understanding. We have to start bringing us back to the constitutional roots, as Dad said, and allowing the people in this country to build stuff as we've always done successfully, instead of fining us and regulating us into an oblivion like they're doing now, guys. 92,000 pages of new regulations just this year set to be on the books if they continue at the pace they're going, Dad.
Well, and that's the problem. Remember what Hillary, well, she was busted last summer by Comey, and he got on national TV and said, we're not going to prosecute her because she broke a bunch of laws and she broke a bunch of regulations and she did a bunch of really bad stuff, but she didn't mean to do it. BS. She knew exactly what she wanted to do. I mean, but they decided just to not do anything to her because she has too much dirt on everybody in Washington. I mean, you try that. You break a bunch of laws and a bunch of regulations. Let me give you an example. My mother-in-law, 82 years old, has a little Class C RV. It's like a little van with a little camper top thing on it. I mean, it's just a little bitty RV that she likes to drive around and go visit her friends. She has it plugged up in her backyard because it keeps the batteries charged on it. And in real hot days here in Florida, because it's sitting outside in the sun, she likes to run it like at 85 degrees so it doesn't overheat everything in there and keep the refrigerator running and make sure that it maintains itself so when she's ready to go, she can leave in it. The other day, she's got the thing plugged up in the backyard. Nobody's living in it. It's just sitting there, sitting in the backyard. Nobody's in it. And the county official pulls up into the driveway and says, "We've had a complaint that someone's living in the RV." And I looked at the county lady and I said, "Nobody's living in the RV. It's plugged up. It's just basically maintaining the batteries."
On her property, I might add.
Yeah, no, it's her property. Remember, she's on half an acre property, and it's in the back of the property behind a fence. Behind a fence, okay? A PVC fence, a solid fence. And this lady comes in and says, "Well, we've got to investigate." I said, "Investigate what? You got an 82-year-old widow woman living here with a little RV that she likes to take out on the weekend sometimes that she tries to keep it plugged in so there's not dead batteries in it." "Well, it doesn't matter. You can't plug an RV in our county and have it in your yard. It has to be unplugged." And I'm like, "Whatever." I said, "What do you mean you got me unplugged?" She goes, "Well," I said, "how do you service the batteries?" "Well, you can only plug it in when you're preparing to leave in it. Other than that, it can't be plugged in. It has to sit there basically and have the batteries run dead." And I thought, "You've got to be kidding me." Oh, so this has turned into a giant brouhaha. She's written it up now. County sent her a doggone letter. And now the attorneys are involved in it. Because she's 82-year-old widow woman who can't leave her RV plugged in to maintain the batteries between trips. She can only plug it in for an hour or 2 hours preparing to leave. Austin, when this happened a couple of weeks ago, I was dumbfounded. I couldn't even believe. And this is now it's escalating. Now they're coming back out to reinspect her property to make sure the RV is not plugged in. So now we've had to move it to the front of the yard and unplug it, and it's just sitting there so they can reinspect the property to make sure it's not plugged in as a battery tender. Unbelievable. This is the kind of junk that all of us are dealing with. This is not living in America. This is living in tyranny. I understand they don't want a person renting out an RV spot in their backyard. I got that. I got that. They don't want people living in a R1 residential area with an RV in the back with someone else living there. This is not that. It's an 82-year-old widow woman. And guys, it doesn't make any difference to the county. They don't care. You can't talk to them. You can't try to reason with them. It makes no difference. And in Oregon, it's even worse with this crazy guy. He decides because they don't want to service a certain person for whatever reason, it doesn't matter what the reason is. They may not like their haircut. I've walked into so many businesses off Austin, restaurants, etc., and they got a sign on the wall, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone."
Yeah.
I guess that's the case unless you're in Oregon. Because if you come in there with a bad attitude, you come in there with a foul mouth, you come in there trying to pick a fight, you come in there without shoes on, you come in there without shirt on, whatever, they say, "Hey, you can't be in here, you gotta go." We reserve that right. Unless you're in Oregon. In Oregon, you can't do it without hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines. Now, I'm not saying what they did about not making the cake. I'm not making a judgment call on that. I don't care. I don't care. It's the problem is it's tyranny, and these elected officials and these people don't have the right to force their values and their opinions on you. Let me give you another one. This is another one. This is just absolutely ridiculous. I got this sent in to me the other day. Bestiality is now in retreat after the Trump win. You heard that right. Remember, Miley Cyrus is a pansexual, which means it's sex with anything. And this is an interesting article by Irwin. And he goes, 3 years ago, I wrote a post, now it's dog rape. When Obama became president, did a door to hell open, pointing out that since Obama was elected president in 2008, evil no longer hides in the shadows, but it's in your face and out in the open. Among the many signs is one that you probably don't know. Bestiality, people who advocate and engage in sex with animals, are now so emboldened that they openly discuss their perversities on internet websites such as Reddit, a popular online chat site. Another site, beastforum.com, has more than a million members as of March 2012. They don't call themselves bestiality people, preferring the euphemisms of zoophile instead of bestiality. They're just animal lovers. They love animals so much they have sex with them, which at a minimum is a form of animal abuse. Guys, this is so crazy. Now, Donald Trump has basically said, we're not going to allow this. Now, these guys are all on the retreat because they don't want to do, because this gay sodomite Kenyan in the White House basically forced men in little girls' bathrooms, and Miley Cyrus likes to get on TV and tell everybody she's a pansexual, and these whack bags. Now, you say, well, this sounds crazy to me. Guys, it sounds crazy to me too, but in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, they were having a problem with human beings having sex with animals, probably taught to them by the fallen angels, by the way. And what ended up happening is God got so hacked off about it, he said in the Old Testament that if you decide to have sex with an animal, we're going to take your sorry butt, this I'm paraphrasing God, I'm kind of paraphrasing this, this is what it basically says, out back, and we're going to stone you to death. How do you like that? We're going to stone you to death because you want to go screw an animal. Guys, listen to me. This is in our face, so open to evil, as it was in the days of Noah, when every thought of every man was evil all of the time. Guys, we have these nutbags that are doing this crazy stuff to animals, and they think it's okay. We've got the most perverse society, which is now starting to envelop the United States and culturally around the world, that I've ever seen. And the sad part about it is, nobody wants to talk about it. The only people that talk about this stuff are like me and Hodges and Hagman and Sheila Lazwinski. Nobody wants to talk about these crazy perversity stuff. Guys, this is not normal behavior. This is why in the Old Testament, one of the reasons when God told the Israelites where they were going into these communities, into these other nations, and they were going in and having a war with these people, that they were to kill the people, the children, and the animals. Because these animals were trained with bestiality. They were trained to have sex with humans. And God wanted no part of any of this. Because remember, a lot of this place, a lot of these different areas, like with the giants, they were Nephilim DNA. The DNA was contaminated, and God knew that, and he said, we got to keep this pure. The DNA of the Israelites has to remain pure. We can't allow you to breed with these other nations that are contaminated with fallen angel DNA, and they're weird, whacked out animals like to have sex with people. You got to kill all this stuff. That's why God was so adamant about it in the Old Testament. Now, by the grace of God and his grace alone, he set forth Jesus Christ so that we could be restored back to him through the blood of Christ, which I've talked about repeatedly on the show when we become a Christian. But guys, in the Old Testament, God had so much of this stuff, he was so fed up with it, he warned people not to be involved in this stuff. In the New Testament, Paul warned people not to be involved in all kinds of weird stuff, including orgies. Read the New Testament. It says repeatedly, and avoid orgies, avoid orgies, avoid orgies, and avoid orgies. Now we see that Podesta is saying, oh, we're going to go have an orgy. We're going to go drink blood. We're going to go drink menstrual blood. And all these nutbag, whackbag sickos run around having orgies drinking blood. Guys, none of this is okay with me. I am not going to bow my knee to Baal. I am not going to bow my knee to Moloch. I'm going to serve God Almighty and Yeshua and Yahweh, and I'm going to go by what the Word of God says. And guys, listen to me. If we don't have some type of moral standard, some type of moral compass in our life, then all we're going to do is compromise. We have to understand what God wants. If we do what He wants us to do, and we do what pleases Him, He will do anything for us. That's what it says in the book of John. Guys, listen to me. We have to be in a relationship with God where He not only knows you, but He likes you. Just because you could get saved doesn't mean you're supposed to run around doing all kinds of weirdo stuff. Now listen to me, guys. Try to bring honor and glory to God in everything you do. What you do, what you say, what you think, everything. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But when we fall short, His grace is sufficient for us, and God's blood, His Christ's blood, covers up these sins for us. And He restores our DNA through scalar waves. I've discussed this so many times on the cross with His blood through all time space, because He's omnipresent, and He restores us back to Him. That's why these globalists hate us, because they know they can't eat us. They can't do anything to our souls because we're covered in the blood of Jesus because of the scalar wave emissions from Him being on the cross, being omnipresent. Guys, listen to me for a second. We've got to stand for righteousness from what we understand from the Word of God. Having sex with animals is not cool, guys. It's not cool. If you guys are listening to me and you're doing that, that's sick. It's weird, okay? And that shouldn't be okay for anybody. And putting people like Miley Cyrus on TV, being a pansexual, that's not cool. That's sick. And guys, if you're letting your children listen to their music from Hollywood, listen to the filth, listen to me. They will entrain their brain by the music you're putting into them. The frequency will affect their DNA. It will affect the way they think, the way they walk, the way they talk. It'll affect everything. It's important that you understand that your children have to be protected, not only from immunizations, not only from GMO foods, but also from this world, from this sicko bunch of whack bags that want to run the planet, who run around drinking blood and having sex with animals. These guys are a bunch of Looney Tunes. And guys, we have to understand something. If we're to serve God, we've got to be set apart. That's why the Bible says this. Come ye out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. It warns you right there, stay away from these people. If you're a Christian and you're still going out and getting drunk with your buddies every weekend and talking about all the different whores you used to sleep with when you were in college, guys, that ain't cool. You can't be doing stuff like that. You gotta start thinking about righteousness, and you gotta start thinking about the way you're supposed to serve God. If you're a lady and you wanna go out dancing with your friends and your husband's at home and you wanna dance with a bunch of different guys, hey, sweetheart, that ain't cool. If you claim to be a Christian, you shouldn't be doing stuff like that. We've got to be different than the world. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right, man. And back to the bestiality aspect, where a lot of our listeners, when we've talked about this before in the past, you and I, Dad, have talked about this a lot. We've seen it from other researchers, too. One of the biggest aspects a lot of people have always brought up is, where did the dinosaurs come from and why were they put here? Because it doesn't make any feasible sense to see what God built with the garden and Adam and Eve, why he would draw 50 and 60 and 70 foot tall Tyrannosaurus Rex in the middle of the garden, considering they're full-blown carnivores and they do nothing but eat all the time. Those two never really went together. I never understood that. Why would God make something that aggressive, that dangerous, and that large to live in the same presence of man? Well, when you start doing more of the research, it, to me, seems that God never built dinosaurs in that aspect. To me, especially when you read the book of Enoch and aspects of it, even if you don't consider it a biblical text, you look at it when it talks about specifically, when it goes back to Genesis 6 is what it references to, when the fallen angels, the Nephilim, came down here, it specifically states in Enoch that they sinned against the birds of the air and the reptiles of the earth, meaning they had sex with them. The bestiality, the same thing we're referring to. This is why it got brought up so much in the Old Testament about not involving in it. In my opinion, from what I've read and what I've seen and talked to Dad about as well, that's where this debauchery came about, and how these monstrosities of reptiles called T-Rexes and all kinds of other dinosaurs came to be about, because they were essentially Nephilim DNA. They were another aspect of also, too, why the flood was about. The Nephilim did not die with the flood. Remember that. They were there before and after. However, we do know that the dinosaurs did not make it past that flood. We find them under the ground, hundreds of feet underground. We still do now, and we wonder what they were doing here. In my opinion, that was another twisted, weirdo thing from Satan and the fallen angels to try and bring as much confusion and death to the earth. And what better way to drop a 60-foot Tyrannosaurus Rex around that eats everybody at will? That's a very, very difficult animal to fight without heavy weaponry. So that's just kind of a side note. I was thinking about that earlier, Dad. We haven't talked about that in a long time, but that was definitely something that we talked about years ago when we were bringing it up.
Well, it's like these alligators that we're forced to live with and cohabitate with here in Florida. Okay, this isn't cool either, okay? We have people getting eaten and bit on a regular basis here in Florida. I mean, getting eaten. They're having to cut gators open and pull bodies out. That's not okay. There's nothing okay about that. Back in the 60s, when I was a kid, when the lakes were all still clean in this area, and it was beautiful, we had no big gators, hardly any gators at all, in any of the lakes in our area. Now, the Everglades were still chock full of them. They were everywhere down there. And so the government decides, the federal government, in its complete and total bureaucracy of ridiculousness, decides they're going to be put on the endangered species list. Now remember, there's still millions of these things floating around in the Everglades. I mean, they're all under every rock down there, but we're going to put these things in the endangered species list. You kill a gator, you're going to prison for 10 to 20 years. I'm like, what? You know, we don't want to swim with a 18-foot reptile that eats human beings. We don't want to do that. But now we get to do that in Florida. Now we have these monstrous things walking across our yards, getting in our swimming pools, climbing chain link fences. Yes, they do climb chain link fences. You watch it online to get on the other side of the fence to eat the dog in the backyard. We got to deal with these things, running across the road, getting hit by semi-trucks, gator corpses on the road, all of this nonsense. That, none of that's okay. Now, if you want to make the Everglades this giant nature preserve, which it is, and you want to have millions of alligators down there, I'm okay with that. Who cares? But guys, even the gators are in trouble down there in the Everglades now because of the pythons. Oh, you heard that right. Because of the Burmese pythons. They get to be so big that they're like logs. Guys, we have so messed up the ecosystem because of what we've done. And now these Burmese pythons, the problem with them in the Everglades is they don't sit still. They like to migrate. So they like to float through the Kissimmee River going all over Central Florida. And sooner or later, we're going to have these snakes everywhere down here because we're not allowed to go after them, remember? Oh, that's right. They're protected. Now, of course, they're having roundup of Burmese pythons, but they've proven to be pretty much elusive as far as trying to catch the little snakes. Well, they're not little anymore. They're 18 and 20 feet long in the Everglades floating around. So, guys, the land of swamps and alligators and reptiles and every known pit vipers down here in Florida. So you learn very quickly if you want to live down here, you don't turn over wood, and you're really careful when you're digging in a log pile because there's chances are there's a snake. Let me tell you a story. A couple of years ago, I had a neighbor. Neighbor's moved now. Neighbor wasn't real bright. And he cleared his lakefront, and he piled these weeds up like 6-8 feet high in a 20-foot pile. And he left it for like 3 weeks, and just sitting there. And finally, I went out there one day, and I said, what are you planning on doing with this weed pile? Just thought I'd ask. And he goes, well, I'm going to load it into a trailer and haul it to the dump. I'm like, I wouldn't do that. He goes, why? I said, you need to get a claw truck. And he goes, why do I need a claw truck? And I said, because it's full of snakes. Oh, it's not full of snakes. There's no snakes in there. I said, oh, it's full of snakes. It's full of snakes. This thing's full of snakes. And he goes, no, it's not full. And Austin, you remember this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So sure enough, he gets out there with a pitchfork, and all I hear is screaming. Wah! He's running away from the pile, and he comes, I go out there. What's wrong? He goes, the thing's full of snakes. And I said, yeah, I know. He goes, well, how'd you know that? I said, because I was raised in Florida. You don't pick up weed piles next to the water. I said, it's full of snakes. And he goes, I didn't know it was full of snakes. I said, I told you it was full of snakes. Are you not listening? Are you not listening? It's full of snakes. So they come up, they finally bring a county claw truck in, and they pick this thing up, and as they pick up this claw, snakes are falling out of the pile. And I told him, I said, yeah, I'd stay away from those now. Just the other day, our current neighbor, he was down there cleaning a bunch of weeds, and I said, be careful with the water moccasins. They hide underneath that doggone little outcropping of rocks over there. Oh, no, that's all right. All of a sudden, I hear Kevin yelling. All of a sudden, now he's killing a snake and shooting a snake down there. Guys, it's what you get when you live in the tropics with reptiles. This is it. This is it. So, guys, saying that these things are okay is not okay. I told you the story. Last year, I was up at a state park, and I ended up finding a rattlesnake right by the sidewalk, and I went to get a stick to kill the thing, and all of a sudden the guy comes running out from the concession stand, screaming and yelling at me, telling me I'm going to be under arrest if I kill this rattlesnake, with little children running to the beach right by it, literally 2 feet away, barefoot, with a rattlesnake. And I looked at him and I said, it's a pit viper, dog. Are you joking me? It's protected. It's protected. I said, what about all the children? Why don't you have a sign up saying there's rattlesnakes that are crawling around on the sidewalks and the children need to be wearing snake boots? And he goes, oh, no, we can't do that. We don't want to scare anybody. I said, scare anybody? Are you kidding me? Why don't you warn somebody? And see, picks the snake up. I thought he was going to go kiss it and massage it. Picks it up with a stick, gently walks over about 15 feet from the sidewalk so it could crawl back over very quickly if it wanted to, and lays it gently down onto the ground. It needed its head stomped in with a boot is what it needed, or it needed to be beat in the head with a shovel and cut in half. Guys, we have no shortage of pit vipers in the United States, especially in Florida. And these regulations are complete and total nonsense. Oh, by the way, Britain has passed the most extreme surveillance law ever passed in a democracy now. This is just great. The law will force internet providers to record every internet customer's top-level web history in real time for up to a year, which can be assessed by numerous government departments, force companies to decrypt data on demand, though the government has never been that clear on exactly how it forces foreign firms to do that, not even disclose any of its new security features or products before they launch. Not only that, the law also gives the intelligence agencies the power to hack into computers and devices of citizens known as equipment interface. interference. Also, although some protected professions such as journalists, there you go, Rothschild boys, and medical staff, there you go, more Rothschild boys, are layered with marginally better protections. The bill was opposed by representatives of the United Nations, all major UK and many leading global privacy and rights groups, and a host of Silicon Valley tech companies, like even the parliamentary committee tasked with scrutinizing the bill called some of its provisions vague. There are some safeguards, however, such as a double lock system so that the Secretary of State and an independent judicial commissioner must agree on a decision to carry out search warrants. Guys, this is where it's all going to. They want to know how many times you used a bathroom and how much toilet paper you used. They want to know everything about you. They want to know what you think, what you do, what you believe, what you say. That's where this is going. It's going into this giant technocracy that we have, that's going into this humanism thing that we have, that's controlled by these rogue government agencies in the CIA, which is controlled by the black magicians, which is controlled by places you don't even want to know about or go to with Lucifer. Okay? That's what's going on right now. It's all about that. I mean, we got John Kerry going to Antarctica on election day. Who summoned him to Antarctica? That's what I want to know, Austin. Who summoned John Kerry to Antarctica? Nobody in their right mind as Secretary of State is going to trot down to Antarctica on election day when you're in line to be the President of the United States. You're not going to just go flip-flopping to Antarctica. Something or someone or something summoned him down there because they were going to make sure that Trump got that election so they would not be exposed by the Podesta emails. Guys, there's some sick stuff. The Bible warned us about it, about the bestiality, all the other things that goes on. It warned us about it back in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy and these stupid orgies that are going on. It warned us about those in the New Testament. Guys, there's a group of perverted people that run this planet, and I don't know what or who they answer to. Probably some kind of fallen angel lineage down there in Antarctica. I don't know. Nobody's allowed to go down there and check it out. If you go down there, they shoot your plane down to protect you. I mean, it kind of sounds like Waco again. We're going to go ahead and shoot people to protect them or Branch Davidians. Let's go in and rescue the children and make sure we kill all of them in the rescue process. This thing is absolutely not what we think it is. There's more to this, and I guarantee it all goes back to that transhuman agenda. Because remember, Lucifer cannot create life. It's impossible for him to do that. He can screw around with your DNA. He can do that, and he can build machines. So they're trying to do all of that together now to form transhumanism because they cannot figure out how Yahweh has the spark of life, and nor will they ever figure it out because I got a newsflash for you clowns. You are not God. You are not Yahweh. You are not Yeshua. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even that, whatever you whack bag things are down there in Antarctica, Austin. So there you go. I'm tired of this tyranny we're dealing with, Austin. What's your next story?
No, you're absolutely right. There's no question about it. I mean, it's gotten out of control. This is interesting, too. If you guys remember, months ago, I've brought this up actually numerous times in the past, the Grocery Manufacturers Association, which is a nonprofit, they were massively pro non-GMO labeling, meaning they did not want anything to be GMO labeled. And they're supposed to be kind of an unbiased for the people, the Grocery Manufacturers Association. You can look them up. Well, this is interesting now. They just got busted and have been ordered to pay an $18 million fine for intentionally concealing the identity of corporate donors to in turn donate money to the cause to not donate, or excuse me, to not label. Let me clear that up here. The GMA, the Grocery Manufacturers Association, donated more than $11 million to the No on 52, which was an anti-GMO labeling campaign. If passed, it would have required labeling of GMO foods and seeds sold in Washington State. The No on 52 campaign rose a total of $22 million to defeat the initiative, which ended up failing. Monsanto contributed $4.5 million and reported its own donation. However, Coca-Cola, General Mills, Nestle, and PepsiCo all donated to the GMA intentionally for their money to be put towards the No on 52, and they wanted to do it concealed and anonymous. GMA intentionally hid the identity of the corporations I just listed, Coca-Cola, Nestle, PepsiCo, General Mills, which is completely illegal for a nonprofit to do because they were taking money as a donation, not disclosing where they got it from, and intentionally isolating that money and giving it to the No on 22 so that GMOs were not labeled. They ended up getting busted now and fined almost $20 million for what they did. The GMO, people are saying 91% of the population wants GMOs labeled. 91%, guys. How many people do we have to get together before the lobbyists and all these associations and all these big conglomerate corporations can't have a say in what the people want anymore? 91% of the population, what is that, Dad? That's roughly around 300 million people, correct? Of the United States?
Well, no. Here's why this is happening. What's happening is this. Guys, listen to me for a second. Morgellons disease, these nanotags they're putting into your body through the chemtrails, through the nanodust, through the smart dust, whatever you want to call it. I've done entire shows on this. Okay, they don't work real well. The Morgellons doesn't really take people over like it's supposed to unless they're eating GMO foods. It's all part of the population reduction and putting nanotags into everybody to cause the transhuman change, the shift. If they hit us with blue light when we're infected with this mess, it massively affects our immune system. This stuff starts growing like crazy in our bodies. See, that's what it's all about. In Europe, where they don't allow the GMO, they have very, very little problems with Morgellons disease. It's pretty much a problem here in the United States. Now, that's why they want this, because they want the autistic children. Now, think about this for a second. Let's step back on this. Regress for a second. I got a bunch of the other stories I got to talk about, but let's stop for a second. You've got 1 in 40, 1 in 50 right now kids coming down with autism in the U.S. right now. MIT researcher says by 2025, half the children will have autism. By 2035, all boys will have autism if the current trend doesn't change. And 2037, all girls will have autism. Now, this all ties together with demonic possession. I'm telling you that, guys. You've got to stay with me on this because it gets really weird. There's absolutely no way that the powers to be would want to have that many autistic kids, which are basically empty vessels, to inhabit with their demonic forces if they cared about humanity. Remember, they don't care about you or me. These guys are sociopaths, psychopaths. They claim to be in the bloodline of Lucifer himself and trace their lineage all the way back to Nimrod. They don't see humans as you and I see humans. They don't see a beautiful little baby as a beautiful little baby human. They see it as a snack, something they can eat and suck energy out of and kill and sacrifice. That's how they look at all of us. There's something going on with the GMOs. For 91% of the people, like Austin says, to demand and want GMO labeling, and for Obama to pass this DARK Act, basically unimpeded by Congress again, to allow these companies to continue to give us poison in our foods and not tell us about this, is something different than what we think it is. They're trying to transform humanity. Because remember, guys, we're the ones with the hundreds of millions of guns and ammo in the United States.
Yep.
They haven't been able to our Constitution, take our gun rights away. They have tried, and Obama says that's one of the biggest failures of his presidencies, not to rein in the gun rights. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. There's a reason they're spraying us with chemtrails. There's a reason Morgellons disease is everywhere. There's a reason they're trying to change our DNA with GMO, which has been proven through epigenetics, is what its term is called. When you change one generation's DNA, the next generation's DNA is automatically altered. That's what GMO food does. That's why the first generation of mice that eat GMO foods get sick, get tumors, they can still reproduce. The next generation don't have a very good problem. They have a problem with infertility. They can't reproduce as well. By the third generation, they're completely sterile on GMO food. They can't produce kids anymore, baby little mice anymore. They're done. They know this is what they're doing to us. Plus, with the Morgellons disease and the autism, they're setting us up for cohabitation with some other type of demon species or whatever. Why would they possibly want 50, 60, 70, 80 million autistic children in the United States if the trend doesn't change? I mean, it's a major, major strain on the economy, and it's going to massively, cause these children when they're adults, because they don't die with autism, they just become adults that are pretty much out of control and have to be restrained. Why do they want to do that to so many of us? The whole thing is just absolutely Looney Tunes. And the problem is, when you dig deeply into these scenarios and you start looking at it, none of it makes any sense except Genesis chapter 6. Chuck Missler, one of the finest Bible teachers of all time, did a whole survey on Genesis chapter 6 and went back and explained it in the original Hebrew. And he said it was interesting, because if you don't understand Genesis chapter 6 and what happened, you cannot understand the rest of the Bible nor the New Testament. This entity, these fallen angels, these whatever you want to call them, these different species have been here for a really long, long time, because there's different types of angels. We know that from the New Testament. We know these people have been here. Do we think they don't like it here? They just leave and pop in and pop out? Apparently there's something going down in Antarctica they don't want us to know about, because now you got that little peninsula you can go onto, and now they just declared an area the size of Alaska off Antarctica in the ocean another no-go zone. So something's happening down there, guys, and we're not being told the truth. Catherine Austin Fitz talks about it in her interviews with the Dark Journalist, and how there's an alternative power out there doing all of this stuff. Guys, she even thinks we've been sold out to these things and the earth is being managed by these things, which, according to the book of Enoch, that's exactly what happened. And according to the Genesis chapter 6, God had to come in and push a reset button and flood the whole planet to get rid of this mess. So guys, I don't know. Zero Hedge basically has also been included on a liberal professor's targeted list of fake news sources. By the way, Wikipedia is one of the worst fake news sources when it comes to alternative health, nutrition, and alternative medical treatments. I'm going to cover that in just a second. Zero Hedge included on the liberal professor's targeted list of fake news sources. We have a confession to make, Zero Hedge. Everything we've just said over the past 7 years, well, according to this professor, is fake. Well, not really, but that's what they want to say it is. Assistant professor of communications at Merrimack College, Melissa Mish Zimbars, would like for you to believe, while it's unclear exactly what prompted her to publish a list of fake news sources, we have a sneaking suspicion it was a coping mechanism cleverly employed by the New England liberal arts snowflakes to deal with the stunning defeat of her chosen presidential candidate. Guys, we've got a major, major problem out there as far as getting singled out now for telling the truth. Remember, they don't want the Ted and Austin Brower show. They don't want the Hodges show. They don't want the Sheila Zawinski show. They don't want the Hagman Report. They don't want us out there with millions and millions of listeners in aggregate telling you guys, hey, there's something that's going bump in the night and it ain't good, and it looks pretty nasty when you see it in the bright sunshine. They don't want us telling you that. They don't want us talking about the Podesta and all of the weirdo stuff about their soul cooking rituals that they do. So the entire country now is starting to wake up to the fact that we've got some weird stuff going on, and we're all tired of it, and we don't want to lose our Christian values in the United States. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's definitely an entire agenda, as we talk about almost every show, behind all this stuff. Like you just said with Antarctica, I mean, you have the Secretary of State, who's like number four, number five to the presidency, if something happens, and he decides to go to Antarctica because the weather is decent on election day. First off, you know how long of a trip it takes to get all the way down from Washington, D.C. to Antarctica? That's not a, hey, let's jump in our private jet and fly down there and we'll be down there in an hour and be back home. That's a significant, significant journey all the way down to the bottom of the globe. So them trying to play it off as, oh, it's just we're going down there to watch penguins on election day. I can't even believe the American population would even think that's anything resembling the truth. Something significant happened down there. There was a reason why he went to Antarctica at the beginning of November on election day, and I promise you, it was not to watch penguins slide down in the water. There was something really, really weird with that whole story, whether he was meeting up with somebody, whether you used to have a whole entire fallen angel generation down there, whether you have the Nazis still down there, I don't know. But all I know is what I've read and what I've seen from a lot of research from people down there. Antarctica is not what we think it is. There is a whole other colony or world down there that we're not being told about. And like I said before, what other place do you know besides an active war zone in the Middle East that has a full no-fly zone over it? And people go, well, that's because they don't want you to crash and wreck into Antarctica and die. Really? Really? That's why they're really concerned about it? Well, what's the risk of flying from Hawaii to the United States or from Hawaii to Australia? You don't think there's any risk of crashing out in the ocean? Why in the world can't we go to Antarctica? Why can't we even go on the continent without express military consent? Why can't we go on the tiny little peninsula that pokes out so we can see the icebergs fall and the penguins that literally is only a few miles deep? The whole thing down there doesn't even make stupid sense. Even if you're a moron, you can figure out that we're not being told something what's going down there. And I've talked about it for a while, and so has Dad, and I'm about ready to get some answers to it. What other place in the entire world do you know that we're not allowed to trek, that we're not allowed to walk on, that we're not allowed to fly to, that we're not even allowed to go down there and explore unless we get some type of consent? In my opinion, if you try and get consent, I guarantee you, if you try to get written consent to go down there and explore, they won't let you do it. Guarantee you, if you try to do it, they'll come up with some crack excuse on why you can't go down there for your safety. It's always for our safety, but I always tell you, guys, the vaccines, the GMOs, the chemtrails, all the stuff, it's for our safety. And then we see yesterday, or 2 days ago, this giant Navy, was it an M6 airplane, doing chemtrail loops around Denver, I mean, for like minutes, just literally circling Denver, like 35,000 feet up in the air, blowing chemtrail spooge out. The FFA tried to contact him. The ground tower tried to contact him, refused to even acknowledge anybody, then just flew off. Now, after they got so much media flack, the Navy came out and said, oh, yeah, he was doing a practice operation. Nothing to see here. Don't worry about it. Nothing going on. Everybody goes, why didn't you guys let us know what was going on? If it was a practice operation, why were you circling Denver for 10 minutes and not letting anybody know what was going on and not responding to any type of radio calls at all? That whole thing is weird. That's why, guys, I've told you repeatedly right now, we're in a very, very weird state in this country and in this world in general. The entire economy is teetering on the edge. The whole entire food industrial complex, as far as being able to feed this country, is on the verge of failing. I've already told you guys that years ago, and now it's even come out from multiple sources that we don't have enough food in the United States to feed anybody. One small shortage, one significant drought out west, one significant fire spread, any type of issue like that will completely deplete the entire United States food supply within weeks. So this is the most important time now, guys, to be doing everything you can, getting ready, because this is just the beginning. Remember, they're more than likely not going to do anything why Obama's still in the White House. He's a do boy. He's a good do boy. He's done almost everything they've wanted to except TPP and taking our gun rights. So they're not going to do anything while he's in office. But what they are going to do, and I am completely confident of this, is they're going to get every single plan, A, B, C, and D, every backup plan, lined up in the event that Trump tries to do something they don't approve of, or he tries to pass something they don't approve of. They're going to pull one of their plugs and one of their plans into place. That's why it's so important that everybody is coming together now and staying prepared with your health, with your water, with your food, with your everything, with your ammunition, with everything, guys, because this is going to be the last stand that we have to make. And if we all sit back and get complacent and be like, oh, well, Trump's won now, it is what it is, we'll just sit back around and party and drink beer every night, and he's going to be our president, hoorah, that's great. Guess what? We're going to fall in the exact same trap that we've been in for the last 40 or 50 years, and nobody's even going to see it coming. I'm telling you guys, in advance, right now, there's a good possibility multiple events are going to happen next year, and there's no telling how far the globalists are willing to go, guys. This is what's happening. You got to open up your eyes, wake up, and see what's going on. Instead of going out and wasting your money on a $40 or $50 dinner on Friday night, go to the store and stock up on canned foods that don't have BPA in them. Or go to Sam's and buy a 25-pound bag of beans and hit them with DE powder and put them in a 5-gallon bucket. Little things like that. You don't have to do everything at once. If you store up now, like I told you guys before, with the ants, you do it for winter. You get prepped for winter, before winter hits, a lot of this stuff is going to be negligible for us, and most of us are going to be able to push through it, help and support other patriots, and bring back this country where it needs to be. If we don't do that, it is literally going to crumble from the inside in. We have to come together now. We have to start waking up and doing what we need to do, guys. There's no more excuses anymore. No more excuses.
That's right. That's right. My dad told me one time, Austin, my father was born in 1901. And I mean, I was born in 1955, which everybody knows my birthday now is November the 8th, right? That wasn't like, that was some big secret. And my dad was born in 1901. I was born when he was 54 years old. So he'd be 16, 17 years old now. And what's interesting about this is he told me once, we were talking about the United States, and he said, you know what happened to the Roman Empire, son? And I said, well, yeah, the barbarians came. He goes, no. He said, what happened to the Roman Empire is they stopped raising little Romans.
Yep.
They let the Republic fall. They stopped raising the little Romans because the people that had built the Roman Empire that lasted for over 1,000 years, they basically didn't teach the offspring how to maintain the Republic. And he said, that's exactly what's happening in the United States. We have the best form of government that's ever been created, period, since the Roman Empire. And they couldn't even maintain the Republic. Caesar finally became like a dictator. Now, the craziest thing about all of this stuff, guys, is listen to me. And, you know, I've gone on a couple of rants today, and you guys like it when I do rants, apparently. I get all these emails saying, we'd love the rant today. Well, you got a bunch of rants today, probably about some weird stuff you don't want to hear about. But listen to me. It's really important. We have storable food, freeze-dried food, 20-year shelf life available at Health Masters. If you can't afford that, go buy BPA-free cans, like Austin said. Get some beans. Or go to our website, get some storable food. Also, look at the immune system protocol. Guys, I cannot tell you how important it is to take those products every single day because of the spraying of the Morgellons. I can't, and because of the GMO foods. It's absolutely critical that your immune system stays on point. Our D3 is 10,000 IUs. Nobody else has a product like that I've seen. Nobody. 10,000 IUs combined with K2 to prevent calcification of the arterial walls. Guys, it's the products that you have to take, the potassium iodine, the D3, the astragalus, all of these things, the turmeric, all of this stuff for your immune system so it stays really, really frosty. So if they decide to hit us with a blue frequency that makes us more gelatin and explode, your body's not going to let it happen. It's going to say, no, we're not going to do that. Our immune system's going to take care of the stuff. I don't care if you've infected me with these nanotags. We're not going to allow it to do it. The immune system's going to be there. That's why we have an all-out assault on our immune system because of the GMO foods. So critical. Guys, I love you guys. I really do. I love reading your emails when Austin sends them over to me. I think it's absolutely wonderful when you guys contact us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I want to just thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you don't do anything else for Health Masters and you get multiple vitamins, it keeps us on the air, and everybody buys multiple vitamins. And don't buy the junk stuff that doesn't work, that basically can't be digested by the body. I hope you guys have a blessed weekend. I want you to know that I appreciate all of you, that I love all of you. You're my family. You're all part of my family. When I talk to you guys on the phone, it feels like I know you so well already, because you definitely know me. So I appreciate you. I really do. So thanks again for all of your support. Austin, go ahead and close, buddy. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. We appreciate it. I hope you guys have a really fun, safe weekend. It's going to be Thanksgiving next week, so a lot of people are going to be busy. A lot of people are going to be driving around. Be safe with everybody coming down. Drivers down here in Florida are just, don't even get me started on that. But yeah, we're going to have, we got our kits on sale as always. Got the basic healthy lifestyle kit and also the healthy immune kit. Those two are really good options to start with. Lana had a phone call earlier and she was asking me what somebody thought they should start with for, I forgot what it was, the question was. But anyways, I told them, the basic healthy lifestyle kit, that covers a multitude of issues because it really covers your basic nutrient intake. And that kit's always on sale for like 10 or 15% off. Really good protocol. Chelation therapy, our EDTA formula, that's on sales product of the week until next Wednesday. Awesome formula. Check it out. Healthmasters.com. If you guys have any questions, email us, call us. Phone number is 1-800-726-1834 or email us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday.